Okay, so we're starting something new. I mean, we did the facts last time, but we didn't really do any svaras or anything. So basically, the question is that the halacha is when it comes to oaf. So the halacha is that when you're shechting shechitas in general, there's two pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe. And so in shechita by a behemah, you have to cut both pipes, the majority of each pipe, okay, by an animal. But by a bird, the halacha is you only need to cut one pipe. Okay, so that's a given. Now the question is, as the Mishnah says, so it says which siman, it's because they're called siman, pipes are called the siman. Siman was like a sign or whatever of his life, whatever, but that's what they're called. So which siman does it have to be? So one shita says this is an achokha siman alafat. That's it. So Rav Nachman says either one, either the vesher or the gana. Either the food pipe or the windpipe. It doesn't matter. It says echad, echad, echad. And Rav Ad Bar Ava says no. Specifically the vesha, the food pipe. Okay? The esophagus. Right? Why? The Mishnah says echad. It says no. What does it mean? Echad? It says miyuchad. Echad miyuchad. My echad miyuchad. And what does it mean? It means the singular, primary semen. Okay? Primary one. Why is it primary? What makes it so primary? So, right? So Rashi says, miyuch vesha, miyuchad shebesimanim. It's like the singular, primary one of the simanim. Shechiyos habehim ataleba, because the life of the animal is contingent upon it. Okay, on the food pipe. Because even with a tiny hole, smallest hole, the animal becomes a trefa. A trefa is an animal with a mortal wound, which is going to die. So if an animal has the tiniest hole in its food pipe, it's considered dead, or it's a trefa, it's going to die. The ilukona at the mifsagruba, when it comes to the windpipe, up until majority holes, it's still could live. It's not considered a trefa. So it's a little counterintuitive. You wouldn't think that. You'd think that the windpipe wouldn't work once it has a little hole, because somehow it's not going to get air. But whatever. I don't know. These are the facts. I'd say. Is that that it can live if it gets a hole in the windpipe, it could live, as long as it's not a majority size hole. But the food pipe, any hole is going to kill it. So it's saying is, so therefore, Rashi says, like the life of the animal is contingent upon that, upon the food pipe. And therefore, that's considered like the, so to speak, primary, singular semen. And therefore, when you say that you have to do shechita on one semen by the oaf, it means, according to Rav Nachman or Rav Rava, it means that one. It means that semen. Okay? That semen, the primary one. As opposed to Rav Nachman contends, no, it doesn't really matter which semen. You can do either one. Okay, those are the facts. Those are the facts. Okay, either siman by oaf, does either siman work, or specifically the primary siman, which is the food pipe, because the chiyus of the animal, the life of the animal, is contingent upon that, and right, be in life, and it's contingent on because even a tiny hole makes it a trefa. Okay, so we asked last time. First of all, what's the machlokas? What's as far to say that you have to do either one, or to say that specifically that one, the food pipe? And we ask, more importantly, is what's the idea that it's the primary siman because the life is contingent upon that? Because even a tiny hole makes it a trefa. He said, I would say, is the life of the animal is really contingent upon both the food pipe and the windpipe. You see, an animal loses a food pipe or loses a windpipe, it's going to die. Now, it happens to be that by the food pipe, even a tiny hole impedes the functionality or whatever of the food pipe, and therefore it's going to die. But by a windpipe, it could deal with a little bit of a hole. But either way, the semen itself is just as crucial to the functioning of the animal. It's just a matter of how much it takes in order to break it. So I wouldn't think that would make it. That means it's somehow lesser of a semen. It's just a totally secondary thing, is what's easier to break. Like we said, like in a computer, maybe you'll say the fan It is the easiest part of the computer to break because it's somewhat flimsy and it spins fast and whatever, so it breaks very easy. I don't know if that's true, I'm just saying. Let's say that would be the case. So would that mean, therefore, that's the primary, that's the main part of a computer? Just because it happens to be easier to break doesn't necessarily mean it's more important. It's the primary part of a computer. So just because the food pipe is easier to break and a little hole kills it doesn't mean it's somehow more important or anything. It's just different. It just happens to be even less durable than the windpipe. The windpipe is very durable. But it doesn't seem to have anything to do with which one is like the chiyus is contingent on it. The chiyus is contingent on both. Yeah. Another problem, which is a question on you, but it's a problem in the sugya in general. Is shchita, how much do you have to cut for shchita?
Rove.
Let's say you're cutting the food pipe, which becomes a trefa even with a little tiny hole. How much do you have to shecht if you're shechting the food pipe? Rove. So it's not pshat. It's true you're telling me that by a food pipe, even a tiny bit makes it a trefa, but that's not shchita. Shchita by both of them is cutting rove. And the rove of both of them makes it into a trefa. So it's not like we're actually shechting a kalshu. You have to deshecht the whole thing. Or mirove, which is Rebbe Kugula. Trefa is just sort of the facts. It's a trefa is an animal which has a mortal wound. The wound which it will die from. Which there's 100 or 70, I forget how many of them, a lot. Of different types of wounds, which Chazal quote. And the halacha is once it gets one of those, if in the field it gets one or whatever, you know your animal got attacked and you know it has one of those things. So if it's a treif, then it's treif. That's where the word treif comes from. Treif, it's a treif. So a treif is like a hole on its lung or this or that or whatever. So that's a totally separate issue. But that's if prior to the shchita that happens. But shchita doesn't make it a treif, because shchita is shchita. You're actually killing it through cutting its pipes. This trefa means that prior to doing shchita, it has one of these wounds, not the mice shchita itself. This is just a point of methodology here. So we have machlokas, right? We have machlokas here. Do you need to do one, either one, or you have to do bedavka that one, right? So now you could just try to define the machlokas, right? But I think that would be a bad methodology because there's one position which you don't understand. You have a problem. What does it even mean, miyuchad shevisiman? It's not clear what his concept is. What does that mean? It doesn't clear his mind entirely, but what does that even mean? So you're not ready to take on what are they arguing about. You have a problem in one side. So I find it's always easier to work on a problem than just to define a machlokas. Machlokas is like, what's the point of conflict between the two positions? That's like a more advanced question, trying to understand the point of conflict. First, it's a way to make inroad into a sugya is oftentimes to find the question, a problem. Not just, I wonder what they're arguing about. Problems help you gain insight into an area. So this is a problem. He's talking, you don't know what he's talking about. So it must be you don't understand something. If you get a concept from the clue, the question's like a clue to give you an inroad into getting what is going on here. Then, hopefully, it could direct you in a direction of trying to define a machlokas. Or maybe not. If it doesn't, then either way, you're not ready for it. It's like a further level of a question to try to define machlokas, you know? So it's easier, I think, to get inroads to get through problems. It's an important point of methodology because I think if you watch people giving svaras, you know, I remember when you first start, everyone's always defining machlokas, and it's kind of what you think svaras are, all about just defining machlokas. Right? So you just sit, take a sugya and you say, okay, where's machlokas? I'll try to define it. That's kind of what you start off trying to do. What else are you going to do? If you do so, it doesn't have any machlokas, and then you really don't know what to do. You know, but I think that might be the end goal, but that's not the route to get to doing things. Often, sometimes it is, but the route to being able to get into it, I find, is by problems, by questions. What's problematic, what you don't understand. This again, and use those questions to help you work your way into it. You know. But, you know, sometimes even though the end product might be here as a machlokas, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the way to go. The first step here is like this, is that it doesn't mean that biologically one pipe is more essential in terms of life or anything like that. Because biologically it needs them both. And it's true forward to compromise the food pipe, it's easier than compromising the windpipe, but who cares? Bottom line is you still need some both. But maybe like this, is that if, let's say, you have an animal and you want to know, you want to make sure it stays healthy, you want to protect its chias, protect its life, or you want to measure its like chias, you know? So what you're saying is like, an animal has a pipe, I mean, among other things, but let's just say, let's focus on the pipes for now, is that the food pipe is very delicate, and if you let your animal get a hole in its food pipe, then it's going to die. But the windpipe is okay. You don't have to be so careful about the windpipe. Windpipe is, it doesn't have to be protected so much, because it could get holes in it, and it could still live. It's true, there comes a point where it's crazy and it's going to end up dying, but it's like if you wanted to, because of the fact that the food pipe, any hole in the food pipe is going to kill the thing, so therefore if you wanted to talk about like where, so far as like examining the animal, so to speak, or in terms of its, like where does its staying alive is contingent upon. So you'll say staying alive is contingent upon its maintaining of a good, healthy vesha. A kana could live on, even if it's not a healthy kana. The windpipe could live on with some holes in it. So it's like, it's more, in terms of like, it's practically, in terms of its maintenance of its chias, the windpipe is less essential. Yes, of course, biologically, if you remove it, then it will die. But generally, you don't remove windpipes. I mean, it's possible to cut out and have 51% of windpipe, but that's not a normal type of a thing to happen. So it's true it does need it, and if it does happen, that happens. But a windpipe, a food pipe, is any little thing could kill it. So therefore, it's like it's more practically, it's more primary in terms of its life. You want to measure the life of a thing. You're going to examine that thing, which is a very subject, easily broken and easily dies if there's a little break in it. It's like a more, it's like its life is more dependent upon that. Because I'm not saying that that's the only thing that the chias is dependent upon. There could be other parts of the animal which also demand any kalsha who would kill it. It's not, that doesn't take that away. So it could be the life of the animal depends upon a healthy vashat, and maybe a healthy aorta, and maybe a healthy spleen, I don't know, whatever. Those are maybe five things. It doesn't pull. The point is, though, if you're just measuring the kana and the vashat, so the windpipe is not an essential ingredient in terms of maintaining the chias of the animal. It's not totally in that. Yes, it's true, if you do the crazy and you cut out 51% of it, it's going to die, but the chias is maintaining its life is not contingent upon it making sure its kana stays healthy. But it's maintaining its life makes sure that it is contingent upon making sure that its kana, its vashat, its food pipe is intact. It's like one of its vital, like it would be almost like at your veterinarian checkup, it's going to check the vashat and this and that. There's certain like major things which have to stay intact for it to stay alive, and you got to check out for those things. Like you're mentioning, Ben, is like if it gets a little hole and within 24 hours you get serious problems. So, I mean, I don't know if they're as common for people to get holes in there. I don't know how common it is altogether.
Well, but I mean, it said that it could be caused by physical trauma or like acid. So if like an animal's eating all kinds of crazy stuff all the time.
Right, or they're fighting or they're in the wild or whatever.
Yeah, or anything like that. It's more common for an animal probably than us who are more careful about chewing food and stuff.
Right, and we're less involved in physical, you know, that kind of thing. Right, but the point is like, I'm saying the chias is totally in it, doesn't mean like, in like conceptually, if you look at the organ as a whole, it needs both organs, it needs a lot of parts. But I'm saying in the practical sense, that's necessary for the maintenance, more necessary for the maintenance of its chias. Because practically, nekev kol shehus are easy to obtain, and 51% cuts are not so easy to get. So therefore, on a practical level, it's staying alive is contingent upon it's to keeping a good healthy vesha, but it's staying alive is not contingent on a good windpipe. Because even diseased windpipes are okay, so it doesn't need a good healthy windpipe. If you go for that, how would you define, before we go to the other side? So how would you explain that shita in terms of what's the halacha by off? saying is, like, it's true. So you have to deal with that problem. It's not enough just to poke a little hole in it, according to that Gita. So I think this you're saying, Raf, that when you have really the mitzvah of Shechita. Shechita, what does Shechita mean? Shechita means to remove, to destroy, to sever the samanim. Right? So you have to sever, like by behema. What's Shechita? Shechita is a ma'isa of cutting the samanim. Now, cutting doesn't mean making a hole in the samanim. It means to kill it through breaking the samanim, through severing the samanim. Severing the samanim means 51%. So that's what Shechita is. Doesn't mean, look, it's true, you can kill a lot of ways. You kill through poking a hole in a chira, but that's not Shechita. Shechita means cutting the zemen. So now the Shechita by Behem was to cut both zemanim. Now it's saying is by an oaf, it's saying is you don't have to cut both zemanim. You have to do Shechita on both zemanim. But it's sufficient if you kill its primary zemen. Its zemen, which is life, is contingent upon. If you do Shechita and you cut the zemen with which the life is taloi, the simen which is necessary, whose maintenance is necessary for its life, that's the prime, that's the chiyas of taliba. It's the miyuchad shebisimanim. It's if you look at life of an animal, the framework of chiyas of an animal, the veshet is of primary importance and the khan is of secondary importance. So it's saying is, du shchita means, by an oaf, it relaxes the requirement. It says you don't need both the ikar and the tafel. You don't need both simanim. But it's sufficient to be, by an oaf, to kill, to do a shechita on the primary siman, on that siman, which is primary in terms of chiyas. It doesn't mean, shechita doesn't mean render it a trefa. That's not, it's true, a little hole render a trefa, but that's not a shechita. Shechita means, the my shechita is cutting the siman. It's just saying is that he's learning, is the Torah did, is it says you don't need to go all the way and get even a secondary siman. The my shechita is sufficient to do a shechita on the primary siman. Right, a primary in what framework? In the framework of chiyas, which is what shechita is. Shechita is killing. So the framework of life and death and health of an animal, that's the framework here. So the saying is, it limits it to the primary semen. But if you didn't just do shechita on the secondary semen, so then that's not, the Torah is not relaxed, not saying you do it on the secondary semen. That's the whole point. The point of the Torah is saying there's a primary and secondary, and you don't need to go to the secondary one. It's enough to go to the miyuchad shebisimanu. That's what it means. Echad ve'of. What's echad? The miyuchad. Go for the main one. And it's enough. If you just kill the main one, you don't need to cut the secondary one. So the question is then, what's the other side? Does the other side deny this whole thing? This whole way of looking at it? So I think Sarafi's saying good is that although it's true that in order that you say, what's the primary semen? What's more, what's the chiyas more tali on? It's more tali on the food bite. But shechita, so like this, if you're trying to maintain a healthy animal, you gotta make sure, watch that veshet, watch it carefully. Even a little hole is gonna break it, is gonna kill it, right? Fine, but shechita is not making little holes. Shechita is an action of being posek the thing, right? And in terms of the Maisa Shechita is concerned, neither one is more primary, because cutting rove or cutting the whole thing of either one of them is equally sufficient to kill the thing. So it's true, in your ordinary framework of like protecting your animal, the chiyas is more taloi, the ikar chiyas is taloi in the vashet, because you got to watch that a little bit. So therefore you could argue that's the miyuchad. But that miyuchadness becomes irrelevant in the context of the Maisa Shechita, because a Maisa Shechita is a Maisa of severing a semen. And severing either semen is equally sufficient to kill the thing. You see, it's a trefa if you cut rove of the vekana or rove of the vashet. So in the framework of the Maisa Shechita, they'll say the miyuchad is irrelevant. And that's why rather Rav Nachman, and this way we hold, holds that the Torah is not saying shecht the primary semen, but it's saying is shecht either or is sufficient. It's saying you don't need the full shechita, you just need a mixas of the shechita. The full shechita is two simanim, one simon is a mixas. So it's saying in the framework of shechita he holds, it doesn't make sense to say it's differentiating between primary and secondary, because the framework of shechita is a maisa of cutting the whole thing, and cutting the whole thing doesn't really matter. It's true, you look at one as more primary than chiyas, because your ordinary farmer or animal owner You know, he's worried about little nicks the same way he's worried about, you know, he has to watch out for everything. But in the framework of the Maisa Shlita is concerned, primary and secondary, you go falls to the wayside. So what he holds is that the Torah, when the Torah is limiting it to one semen, and the framework, insofar as Shlita is concerned, so just saying either semen, it's enough to do a mixas. So the way he understands the limitation of Oph is limiting it from the kulo to mixas. By Mehme you need kulo, by Oph you need mixas. Whereas the other shita hold, it's true, insofar as Maisa Shlita is concerned, you're doing the whole thing, but your shlita is on an animal, and you're approaching an animal, there is a primary and a secondary semen. There's said primary chiyas and secondary chiyas. So the fact that the Maisa Shlita does, so to speak, overshadows that difference, doesn't mean that there isn't a primary semen and a secondary semen. And he holds it, and the Torah is telling you, Ov Nemet needs less, it's telling you, just go for the miyuchad. That's the question. It's like when you're faced with the two simanim, which insofar as the chiyus of the animal itself, there's a primary and a secondary, but in the limited scope of the Maisa Shchita itself, there really is no sense in a primary and a secondary. The primary and secondary becomes irrelevant. So that's the question, is does in the halacha of Shchita, does it go by the overarching framework of chiyus, which really does differentiate, or do you say it goes by the limited in the scope of the Maisa Shchita itself, in which case they're really equivalent. So the next thing is Rashi's bring rayas, and it has basic open clear raya from Malika. You can look at the Gemara, but Malika's with the fingernail that either semen works. So it says Tiyuvta, that's it. Knockout, works, either semen, knocks out the position, it said it has to be the Vashat. So then it says, oh, okay, how do we paskin? So Gemara says, what do you mean, how do we paskin? You just said, you knocked that guy out, you knocked out the Shita who held this, you know. So the Gemara says, no, maybe you'd say that that's by Malika that either one works. That by Shchita, it has to be the food pipe. Why? What's the difference? Now, Malika, not only do you break the simanim, you first break, you go from the back of the neck. So you break the neck bone and the spine and the simen. So it's saying, since you're doing all that, so then one either simen suffices. But when it comes to Shchita, where you're not doing that stuff, you're only going for the Siman, so then I'll tell you the Torah demands the primary Siman, the Miuchad Shebi Simanim. Kamash Malan. So that's why the Gemara asks, well, what do we hold by Shchita? And then the Gemara ends up asking by Shchita also. Either one works. Shows that. But it seems like it's possible to differentiate between Shchita and by Malika, you know? So based upon the fact that you're doing other stuff also. So it sounds like in the ballpark of what we're talking about or somehow, but maybe we could try to get that, you know. What's the question? It's like, what's the difference? Like, what would be the svar to say that Shchita demands specifically the Vashat, but Malika could be either one? Because of the fact that you're doing also the Mafrakas and the Shadra, which is the neck bone and the back bone. What's that svar?
What are you doing,
man? So Malika practically is the Kohen, it's by a Kajim, by a bird of Kajim, you don't do Shchita. By a Ola, you do is you take your finger and separate the head, the fingernail of the Kohen, you hold the bird and you barb it from the back of the neck. The Kohen has a very sharp nail, the Kohen has a very sharp nail, and he cuts off the whole head. Guts go through the neck bone, the back bone, and it's two simanim. By a Chatas Hof, he only does one simen, or he only has to do one simen, he cuts the neck bone, back bone, and one simen. So that's what Malika is. So it's like parallel to Shchita, it's just that you use a knife, you know, a finger instead of a knife. And I guess also you get this more, you know, you get the neck bone or the backbone, more stuff. So it's like interesting, because Malika and Shchita, by Oph at least, you have this parallel. You know, you can't use your knife by Kajim, and you can't use your fingernail by Chulin. So it's like an interesting thing, which hopefully maybe as we do through the parak, maybe will come up here and there. Is like the different similarities and differences between Shchita and Malika. You know? Yeah.